beauties, welcome to my show, Power and Pleasure, All Things Women's Health. I'm your host, Kim Billick. I'm a women's empowerment and sexual health coach, Reiki master, yoga therapist, and occupational therapist. This podcast is going to be raw and juicy. And yes, we'll be talking about all things women's health uncensored. We'll be talking about periods, hormone health, sex, pleasure, pregnancies, all those things that may be going on down there that are making you feel uncomfortable. Anything that you may be feeling scared or ashamed to talk to your doctor about, your partner, your girlfriend, let's just consider this podcast real girl talk. Be sure to check me out on Instagram at Kim_Billick, or my website, www.amala-living.com. Hello, beauties. I am so excited to introduce my next guest, who I have to say, she is a badass woman in the corporate world, and she has such a great story to share and just has so many good tips for us to find that lovely balance in our life between work, our personal life, and play. I have Kelly Lynn Adams with me. She's a certified executive leadership and life coach, speaker, and creator. She's founder of Women Work Worth Movement, which I'd love to hear more about, Kelly. And she was in the corporate world for about 17 years. She's worked with some big name companies like Gucci, DKNY. She's also been in Forbes, Huffington Post, and I know a whole list of others. Kelly's going to be able to explain this the best. So I'm going to hand it over to her and let her continue with her intro.
Yes. Thank you, Kim. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you so much. Yeah. That's what I do. I was in corporate for so many years. You know, the relationship with like stress and burnout and pleasure and play, I really dive into that a lot because that was my story. I burnt out while I was in corporate. You know, I had these pretty high intense pressured roles. I climbed up the corporate ladder. I was supporting CEOs and CFOs, doing like finance and strategy and all the fun things. And yeah, I burnt out. I wasn't listening to my body. I was not eating great. I remember I would be like, oh, I'm going to have Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks for dinner. I would get, you know, cars home at really late times because there was deadlines, and I would go in at like 7:30 in the morning, and It was just a crazy time, and I just wasn't paying attention to my body. And nevertheless, I wasn't really even playing or experiencing any pleasure. I was literally, and because also at the time I was building my business on the side of my corporate career. So I was literally working, eating, and sleeping. And yeah, I landed in the hospital from adrenal burnout and fatigue, and my body was just like slowly shutting down. I had candida, like I had all these strep throat, like it was like fever, a whole host of things. And that really opened my eyes to be like, Kelly, what are you doing? And, you know, also over the years, I developed like chronic illnesses, autoimmune illnesses from just the stress on my body and not take care of myself, but also I think the mental and emotional stress as well.
Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, like, what symptoms were you having? What was like, okay, I need to get into the hospital?
Yeah. Well, I started to be like really lethargic and really tired. I was always tired. My throat started to hurt. I was having a fever, and I knew something was wrong, and that's the only way I could explain it. So I went to the doctor, and he was like, he ran a couple tests, and he's like, you're going to the hospital now, because I was like highly dehydrated. I was like a hot mess. So I literally went to the hospital right after his, you know, recommendation, and they put an IV because I was so dehydrated. They ran all these tests because they didn't really know what it was. They didn't know if it was like a heart thing or, you know, just a mental breakdown or anything. And so they were like, really, it's just adrenal fatigue. Like, you're not taking care of yourself. And it was like, obviously, like I had candida, which is like, you know, overgrowth in yeast. Like I had a couple of things going on. And for the next, I would say it took me a good 2 months. I was so tired. All I could do was sleep. So I got a note from work. I had to be out for 2 months, and all I could do was like sleep. I was so tired. And I had mono before, but it was like different than mono. It was just my body, my mental and emotional, you know, well-being. I just needed rest, and I needed to take care of myself and eat well and all of the things. So it really impacted my life. And I was like, wow, I'm really tired for weeks. Certain days I wouldn't even shower because I was that tired.
Wow. That is extreme. And it's very unfortunate that it had to get to that point for you. But I hear this very often. And it's like, there probably were some minor warning signs as it was happening, but you kind of just pushed it off saying, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing.
Yeah.
And I always say, and I'm sure you say this now, is like, we need to pay attention to these little signs because it is our body talking to us. So whether it's you had candida, I don't know if you had actual vaginal yeast infections or, you know, the fatigue that you're so tired, missing periods, what comes along with that very often, mm-hmm. not sleeping well, insomnia, all these things are actually hormonal imbalances and your body speaking to you. So it's like, listen to this little sound over here.
And I don't think we do, not we, like I know I was doing, I think a lot of people do not listen to that because it's like, well, I have so much going on, you know, or I need to get this done. Or it's just a debt. Like, cause me, I was like, oh, you know, like it's going to be a busy month. And I was like, oh, I can do anything for 8 weeks or 2 months. Like I got this. And it was building up. But this was the point of like in the year that we had like all these projects and just like this huge initiative. And so I was like, oh, it's going to be fine. I can get through this, done it before. And it was like, yeah, no, it's like, no, bitch, you're not. Like, it's like, no. And I think also, like you said, I wasn't listening to the red flags even like months prior. So I think I was kind of starting from a place of disadvantage. And then I just pushed. You know, I was just like, no, I got this. Like I can do this. And yeah, I wasn't, again, no play, no nothing, no release, no relaxation whatsoever.
Yeah. And it can look in different ways. So my story is a little bit similar, but different in that I had lost my period because I was not playing and I was working too much. I was training for a bikini show. I was studying, I was doing all the things. And there too, I wasn't listening to the little signs. And as a result, I ended up losing my period for nearly a year.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times with that comes like the dieting. Yes, the dieting happened with me with the bikini prep, but really it was too much stuff on my plate, the stress, all the work, all the school, the training, everything, all these things I just kept piling on top and there too thinking, oh, I'm superwoman, I'll be fine, you know, but no, like it, and then I had to stop too. You know, when it came to that point, like after 4 months of not having my period, I'm like, hey, you need to take a step back. You know, I wasn't put on like almost like bed rest, like say like you or be at home the whole time, but I had to pull back from my training. I had to pull back from some work just to give my body the rest that it needed.
Yeah. It's so important because also I think too, like society doesn't make it any easier. I don't know about you, but I always feel like I'm connected. Phone, iPad, computer. You know, like social media, like you're always so accessible. And if you're not, like, it's like, where are you? What's going on? Why didn't you answer my text? Or did you get my email? Or it's like, oh my gosh, you know? So I think it's also to the pressures that we feel and how much we allow that to take our energy and our access and our ability. Like we get to choose those moments, you know? Cause I would say like, there are times where I go down that social media rabbit hole and I'm like, I have to, instead of like, I get to, it's like, no, Kelly, take a step back. Like you get to take care of yourself. You get to not be available all the time, you know? So I think for me, it's managing those like expectations of myself internally. And then also expectations of other people, like, mm-hmm. no, I'm not going to be at other people's beck and call. And it's like, what do I need in this moment too, for me?
You know. Yeah, I think that's very important. And just taking that pause for like even 2 minutes and just like put your hand on your belly and just be like, what do I need right now? And if it is saying no, I would say it's not no forever. You could have plans, you know, tonight to go for a happy hour. But if you are really feeling fatigued and you just need a night to yourself, call your friend up. Don't be that last minute person calling 20 minutes before, but like call them in the morning and be like, hey, this is where I'm at. Can I take a rain check for next week? Actually, my girlfriend did that to me last week. I was like, cool. I hit her up this week and I was like, hey, are you available this week? Do you feel better? You want to catch up now? So it's setting these boundaries. And I'd love to know, because you still are in that corporate world somewhat, correct?
No, well, I'm totally out.
But don't you work with people in the corporate world?
Yes.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
How do you find this nice balance and, you know, help your clients find this balance between play and pleasure and still being badass CEOs and all the things?
A lot of them are, they're just, right? They're overconsumed. They're in that, like, you know, so they're not taking a breath. They're not, you know, and so a lot of it is expression. You know, a lot of them are not expressing themselves. And that was me still, you know, I find myself, I'm like, oh, like, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I'm like, wow, I'm really still unexpressed in certain parts of myself. And so with the corporate, see, a lot of people in corporate right now, they're going through all different things, right? Remote working, hybrid working, boundaries, no boundaries. Cause now, like, well, you're again, like with the social media and the email, you should be accessible all the time because you're remote, you know, I can get in touch with you. So it's a lot of work on the boundaries. And then also, like, let's take a breath, you know, like we are not, and a lot of, you know, a lot of people I work with, they're not saving lives, right? They're not, you know, emergency doctors that, or OBGYN that go deliver a baby or do heart surgery, right? Like, they're in corporate. And yet right now, like if they don't answer an email, like no one's going to die. I mean, the people that I'm working with, right? So it's not like, okay, these aren't life altering decisions. Like if you don't answer the email or you don't do X, Y, and Z, is someone going to die? Are you going to get fired? Are you no, right? The answer is always pretty much no. And so if the answer is no, right, it's also about like taking back your power too. It's like, okay, where do you feel like you're out of control? You have no boundaries. You've lost your power, you lost your voice, you lost all of that. And it's identifying where those areas are for them, because a lot of times they feel like there's no boundaries. I don't have choice. I don't have power. And it's like, but actually you do, right? So it is mindset, but then you and I both know, right? We come from a similar world in coaching and training where it's like the embodiment work. It's like, how are you like getting outside? I was actually talking to one of my clients. He's a very big executive, and he was just feeling like all up in his mind, you know, his strategy guy, you know, right, like making these big decisions. And he's like, I've just gotten at my, I gained weight during COVID, all these things. And so as we were on the phone, he actually got up and he took a walk during our coaching session. So I'm like, that's amazing. Like it's one step in the right direction, right? He's like, I'm so glad I'm like choosing to take a walk and get outside in nature and in my body. So it could be one simple shift, because a lot of people are in their heads, mm-hmm. right? And they're not. So it's like, what can you also do to like feel your body and or get outside or take a breath? So a lot of that is like the mind-body connection. And it's like less of the thinking, more of the being, and more of like the getting and feel and into the feeling part of it.
Yeah, that's so important. I picked up what you said earlier about I get to, like when you were all talking about being wrapped up in social media. You know, it's not like I have to post or I have to answer this email. It's I get to, I have this choice. And that's you really connecting with your task of what you would like to do. And also for us women, that's us connecting to our feminine and just acknowledging that we are in flow and we're not linear and we don't always have to be going straight up the ladder. We can, you know, change what we want to do. And we have that choice.
And I will say this, like, I love that, Kim, because every time, I think it was like 2 years ago, I really stepped into like the play mode, mm-hmm. you know, like healing my second chakra and like just playing more and like leaning back, because that was really hard for me to do. Still is sometimes, right? I'm a very type A go, go, go person. And 2 years ago, I really stepped into that. Like, how do I play more? How do I pleasure myself more? How do I experience fun and joy? And it's taken me a while. I've gotten 100, like, oh my gosh, leaps and bounds. And there's still more ways to go. And I find that every time I play or I experience pleasure, like something happens that's amazing, or something opens up, because it's just that like energetic of it that it's like I'm open, I'm allowing, I'm receiving, I'm not controlling, I'm creating space for whatever needs to occur. And for so many years, I was so much in my masculine from a trauma response, right? Of being like, I get to, I take care of everything, firstborn, you know, all of that. And it's like, no, actually, like what has, that has served me until some of that doesn't serve me anymore. So yeah, that I definitely changed the relationship around pleasure and play and even leaning more into it, you know, even today.
Yeah. That's beautiful. That's been a work in progress for me as well, to the point that I'll even get up and start dancing. Like if I have like a bit of an energy or like a mind block, I'm working and I'm like, I just need to move. I will like get up and dance now. And that's something I never used to do. But it, like you said, it creates space. And then all of a sudden I get these downloads of like ideas, or I'll come back to my desk and like some email will be there that I'm like, oh, wow. This is a new connection call, or like this just came in a 5-minute dance session. What else is going to come through?
Yeah. And just think about like, I watch my niece, you know, she's 3 and she's just in like, I mean, not all the time, right? Like, but just in total joy. Like she plays with like sticks and dirt and has like the best time. Like she doesn't even play with her toys. Like she plays with cardboard boxes and you're like, oh my gosh, like she's just having so much fun. And she experiences all the emotions. Like she'll be crying 1 minute, then she'll be happy 1 minute. And she doesn't judge it. She doesn't get up all in her head about it. And I think that's also like, I learned so much from her because I just watch her and I'm like, oh, she's just really having fun. Like she's so in her element and she's not thinking about lunch or, you know, maybe if she's like, you know, if she's starting to get hungry, but she's just being, you know? Yeah. And I think it's like a lot of the unlearning too, that we get to do where it's like, okay, like how can we have more fun or more pleasure, yeah, you know, in this moment?
I like that you say the unlearning, because it's even like, what were we told as children, you know, by our parents or our teacher, and that gets stuck with us. And then that impacts our work ethic and how we act as adults. So I like how you say that, unlearning.
Learning, yeah.
I'm sure there are mothers listening, and I'm sure you work with a lot of mothers as clients as well. And, you know, especially with school just starting up right now, like, do you have any good recommendations for those women that are moms, you know, married, they have a partner and, you know, they're in the corporate world, or you don't even have to be in the corporate world, like just any kind of job.
Yeah.
How to find that nice balance of what you're talking about, the play and being in your power and your purpose.
Yeah. So I'm not a mom. So I'll just like put it out there. And my cousin, who's like my sister, she has 4 kids, right? And her and her husband both work. And I have tons of friends that are moms that are, whether they're the breadwinners or they're not, moms have a lot going on. And I think women in general these days, I think, have a lot going on. And what I would say is, a lot of times, and I'm not saying everyone does this, but a lot of times we put others' needs before ourselves, right? And we all know this. And it's like taking a step back and being like, okay, what do I need in this moment? You know, like, what do I need before my kids, before my husband, before my day? And even if it's 5 minutes, you know, even if it's 2 minutes, even if you get to wake up, you know, 20 minutes earlier or lock yourself in the bathroom for 5 minutes, like it's whatever you need in that moment. And I think, you know, getting to choose like a non-negotiable each day of what that looks like for you, you know, whether that could be drinking more water, that could be just taking a walk, right? So I think it's having like a non-negotiable for yourself. I know some moms thrive with like the schedules, you know, they're like, yes, the kids are going back to freaking school. And like, cause it's more structure. And then some moms struggle with that, right? So I think it's a personal decision because everyone's life is different. However, I will say, if, you know, I would invite people to just, you know, have that one non-negotiable for yourself, you know, again, even if it's only 5 minutes, or even if it's like getting up earlier, locking yourself in the bathroom, taking a walk, like, and totally and completely, you know, of what do you need in this moment or for this day? Because if you're not your own best asset, you know, you're, we always hear this, you're kind of serving from an empty cup, or you're activating an empty cup, and that doesn't serve anybody. And energetically, people can feel it, right? If you're not And I'm not saying we all have to be at 100% and feeling our best in every moment, because that's not realistic either. And it's getting to choose like you before we or everyone else. And it doesn't even have to be like an hour ritual routine, right? Like when I was in corporate, I would look at all these entrepreneurs and like people that were like, oh yeah, I do 2 hours for my morning routine. I'm like, come on, really? I was like, come on. Like, I don't listen. Even if I got up 4 a.m., I don't have 2 hours to lollydoll before I go to, like, get real, right? Like, so it's like, it's also knowing yourself, right? Like, if you can't do a 2 hour morning ritual, not can't, but like, sometimes it's just not realistic, right? In your world. So I think it's being realistic with yourself. And I would beat myself up because I'm like, how are these women doing these 2 hour rituals? Oh, because, and looking at my world, you know, I can't, you know, I had a really demanding job in New York. I was building a business. I was like, I don't have time. I don't have 2 hours. But what I did do, right? Like on my commutes, I would listen to, right, a really positive like YouTube video or affirmations. And like that would fill me up. Or I would meditate for 5 minutes, you know, before I got ready. So even though it didn't look like everyone else's, I always had that non-negotiable thing that I didn't, even when I got home from work, you know, even if it was at 11 o'clock at night, I'd be like, okay, what do I need in this moment to wind myself down? So again, it doesn't have to be hours, and it can be, it can literally just be like a promise that you make to yourself, like each day.
Yeah.
That's for yourself.
What I'm hearing, and I love it, is set yourself up to win. Like, don't compare yourself to your coworkers or your friend. Do what is what's going to fill you up and what you're going to be able to commit to yourself. So whether, you know, like you say, it's 5 minutes or an hour, for everyone, it's going to be different. And something I like to say is it's bio-individuality. Like, you could read all the books, you could hear the top 10 list of what you should be doing, but what you should be doing might not be filling your cup. So just taking that time to really assess and see how you feel. And it could be a bit of a test, you know, see, try one thing and it may work and it may not. And if it doesn't work, then you try something else. And eventually you will find something that is gonna, that's gonna serve its purpose and fill you up as you commit to yourself.
Yeah, experiment. I love that. Yeah, experiment what works, what doesn't. And I will say, I think another thing I want to bring up too is, and I'm sure you know this to be true, is like your environment. Mm. Like if you're not, so many people in this world right now are so lonely. Like loneliness is so high, you know, on kind of this scale of like, are we around people? Are we not around people? And so environment could look like in-person or virtual, but I think it's putting yourself in supportive environments or people that love and support you or even elevate you. I know my greatest growth and elevation has come from putting myself in environments or around people that just either make me feel good or support me or push me or have my best interest at heart. So I know sometimes it can get lonely for moms, non-moms. Like, so I would say, who is in your environment? You know, who are your top five people? Or do you have a group or, you know, any kind of support system around you? And I think that's super important, especially today. And even with COVID, we saw that, right? Like everyone, you know, we had to stay home. Like, you know, like, so I think environment is just so important as well, because it can affect your emotional and mental well-being as well. So I think fine. And if you don't have any, you know, supportive people or supportive environments, like you get to now look for one and be a part of it, or maybe some of you might need to create one, right? So I would say that too.
Yeah. And I love that. And with that comes back the boundaries, because there are some people that you may have to pull back from because they aren't supportive and they aren't positive, you know, necessarily for you at this time, and raising your vibration. So being okay with just being like, I need a little bit of space. And I've had to do that with some people recently, and we may not be the best of friends anymore, but I'm okay with it. Because as you were talking about earlier about making space, so many new people have come into my life that are supporting where I am in my growth right now. And it's just beautiful to see how we support each other. The other thing I'd love to say is how you're saying environment, something I give my clients, I call it the calm container. So not only people that support you, but it could literally be just your environment. Maybe it is you going out in nature by yourself. Maybe it is locking yourself in the bathroom with Epsom salts and, you know, lavender essential oils and taking a nice hot bath. Something that calms your nervous system down and tells you, okay, I'm safe, I'm good, I could just relax. And for everybody, it's going to be different. So, you know, looking at that kind of stuff too for your environment.
100%. Yeah. I mean, and I will say, like, you know, when I was in corporate and all, my nervous system was like there was no calm. There was no, like, there literally had to be a rebirth and recalibration of my whole nervous system. Even growing up, you know, and I'm still learning like how to recalibrate that. And that's where the pleasure and the fun and the safety and all that comes in, because for so long, I was activating in like survival mode, mm-hmm. scarcity mode. Oh my, like just being pulled. And again, it comes back to the boundaries. And it's like, no, I actually get to take back my power. I get to choose. And for so long I was activating in that lack, scarcity, you know, just on the rabbit hole or, you know, the hamster wheel.
Absolutely. Of life.
Yeah.
And our body doesn't realize that, like you said, like being in this, you know, fight or flight, like our body's just recognizing stress, stress, stress. And as you mentioned that, I was thinking back to 2019, I got uprooted from LA to a small town called Bakersfield, which there's nothing there. And it was basically like, you need to go or you're going to lose your green card and get deported. So I had 2 weeks to uproot my life from LA and go to Bakersfield. And in that time, I have to say it was not a good working environment. And I was in that survival mode. I didn't have a good supportive boss. I was getting pressured to do borderline, what I consider unethical, legal stuff. And the pressure was there. I didn't know anybody. I didn't feel connected. And I was getting numbness and tingling in my hands and my feet. I had 2 full-blown anxiety attacks in 1 day. I've never had anxiety in my life. And yeah, it was like, I mean, it wasn't something I had to go see the doctor. Thank God for my yoga practice and me being a yoga therapist. I was very aware of it. So I did a whole bunch of like breath work and affirmations and mantras and all the things to really like calm myself down. But I think like when you said that, I was like, I was in full survival mode for like 6 months until I got out of there.
Mm-hmm. And then you don't even realize it, right? You're like,
yeah, some people, they get so caught up in it. And like you kind of mentioned too, when you pull yourself out of it, it just doesn't go away immediately. You still need to work at it. And, you know, little things may trigger you and bring you back a step or two. So it's becoming really aware of how your body's feeling, how you're feeling mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all the things. So that you could catch this early. And if you do end up down that path, you could start implementing some of these things that Kelly's talking about today, that we're talking about today, to fill up your cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's kind of like when you said that, I imagine like the shifting of the gears, like, could you go from 0 to 100, right? Or if you're activating at 100, like just shifting down to like maybe 90%, shifting down, right? Because the nervous system sometimes it's so activated that like, it's like, okay, what's like a little bit lesser, you know, and even we could talk about it from the emotional standpoint. Like there's that, I don't know if anyone has saw, like they say like a consciousness ladder where it's like the emotion levels or steps, right? It's like when you're in victim consciousness or victim, like, woe is me, everything's happening to me. Actually a step up is like you getting angry. So it's actually good to get angry when you're in victim, right? So it's just like, what's one step better or one step higher I can feel, or one step lower on the, you know, how can I recalibrate my energy if I'm activating at, you know, 100 miles an hour. So I think it's just taking the baby steps and it's like, okay, 1% better. What does that look like?
Yeah. Super important. And celebrating that as you do it,
yes.
Like actually acknowledging that you're taking these steps. Before we wrap up here, I'd love to hear a little bit more about your program. What is it? Women Work Worth Movement.
Yeah. So it's a free community. And I started it, I actually originally started it while I was in corporate, and it was called something else. It was called the After Five Club, when I was helping women being like, come on, get out of corporate. And then I changed it because it was more, more of the worthiness and like how we view work and just women also in the workplace and also just women in work and entrepreneurial. So it's really whatever work, but it's like, what are the topics that are in that whole general? So it could be like, you know, in COVID, for example, there was like 2.2 million women that left the workforce because of COVID and that, you know, childcare and all of that. So that was a huge, so it's like, it's topics like that, but then it's also topics like, okay, worthiness, you know, how can we unlearn some of the unconscious and past programming? Like I get deep in that, right? And then it's just a whole community of like supportive women. It's on Facebook and there's over like 600 women in the community. And it's just a place where women can go and be supported. And then, you know, really all my offerings and everything, like I promote them in there, but it's just a community and we're building it out. And it's just a safe place for people to connect and be. So that's what I started, you know, because I think women, we've come so far and yet there's so much work yet still to be done. And there's so many, like, we don't celebrate enough. We don't use our voices. We don't take up space. We don't step back into our power. So it's all issues around all of that and just becoming like the warrior and the amazing person and woman that you are. Like that's really all it is. It's just a safe community.
Oh, I love that. So I'll definitely put that up on the show notes. I'll get that information fully from you after. And do you have any other offerings that you have right now or any group programs, anything else that's coming up?
Yes. Yeah. So I always do one-on-one coaching and then VIP half days for people that want to get into my world and work with me privately. But I also have a group called Shatter Your Glass Ceiling. So we're going to be doing round two in actually a couple of weeks. I'm so excited for it. This round right now, the women are amazing. So when I say shatter your glass ceilings, that can look like anything. It's really whatever ceiling that you're putting on yourself, whether it's health and wellness, career, worthiness. So it's a customized program. Like I teach some things in there, but it's basically you come in and it's customized. Like where are you blocked? Where are you not moving and getting to that next level? Where do you have to unlearn some things? So it's not a huge program. Like I don't take too many women in it because it's very customized and I work with them one-on-one, but it's in a collective community. So yeah, the women right now, they're going through some amazing shifts and it's just beautiful to see. So we're going to be launching another round of that. Yeah. In a couple of weeks. So
Do you have a date for that or not yet?
Yeah, it's actually going to start the first week in October.
Okay.
So that's what we're aiming for right now, but we're going to do like a 5-day free challenge around it and all the things. So
all the things. All right, ladies. So look out for that. And I'll be putting all this in the show notes. Do you have any last final thoughts or words for the listeners?
Yeah, I would just say be gentle on yourself. You know, like you had mentioned too, Kim, it's like growth is not, it's not an up and down. It's not a, oh, when I get there, I get this, right? It's a process. It's a journey. And with all the transformational work I've been doing, it's like, there's still more. You're never done.
No,
you're never done. You're never done. And you're never going to get there because there's always going to be somewhere else to go. So I would just say, have compassion for yourself. You're doing great. Lean into the uncomfortable. And it's also, if there's something in your head and on your heart, like that means that you get to do that. You know, don't kind of not listen to it. I think a lot of people don't listen to their intuition or that nudge or that idea that they're really passionate about, because whether it's fear of success or fear of failure. And I would just say, honor that, you know, whatever comes up, honor the pulls you're getting on, honor the nudges that you're getting, and honor all the feelings that come up because they're all serving you for your highest good. And that's it.
I love that all. That was all so good. All right, ladies, I am going to have everything down in the show notes. Be sure to check Kelly Lynn Adams out on Instagram. Like I said, all her contact will be below us. And thank you for joining for another show.